Hey, how you doing? Back on the Young Turks. Real quick, a couple of tweets here. Unregistered Chicano says, blame the victim is the same gag these chimps use to justify police murdering unarmed citizens with impunity. Well, I mean, he had a toy gun, we couldn't tell. Well, you might have wanted to ask him. But nope, they're going to blame the victims, as they've done 1,000 times. All Hayes could furl half, that's the name, says, it's not democracy when your vote is forced in exchange for innocent children. Trump is disgusting. Okay, we got a lot more news for you guys, so we've got to get going. All right, Anna, what's next?
All right. A Texas deputy has been accused and charged with sexually assaulting a 4-year-old girl and then threatening her mother with deportation if she told the authorities about it. Jose Nunez is his name, and he's a 10-year veteran of the Bexar County Sheriff's Department. He faces a felony charge of aggravated sexual assault of a child. According to a press conference by authorities, the girl had been assaulted multiple times over the course of several months. And Nunez had apparently told the mother that she would be deported if she reported him to the police. But she decided to go to the authorities immediately anyway. They're working to get her protected status while this case is pending. But I mean, we have conversations about criminals in America a lot these days, and oftentimes that discussion is led by the Trump administration in an effort to defame immigrants trying to come in the country seeking asylum. So let's talk about who the real criminals are in the United States.
Yeah, when you make certain people powerless, the potential for abuse goes up exponentially. So I don't know how long Nunez has been doing this. I hope they do a thorough investigation. I imagine they will, since they arrested him. And it might have been well before Trump that he started this. This might not be the only case. We don't know yet. They're looking into it. But in a situation like this, where immigrants are incredibly afraid of what might happen next, it's very easy to use that as leverage against them. Now, this is an extreme case where it's used to assault a 4-year-old and then hold that over the family's head. But God knows how many times it's happening and how many different cases. For someone who wants to abuse their power, such an easy card to play to say, I could send your whole family back. I could ruin your life, have you deported, and the life that you know as it exists today could end unless you do exactly what I tell you.
You know, oftentimes when we talk about immigration or undocumented immigrants in the United States, the conversation makes it seem as though the criminals are those without documentation. But a lot of times, because they're so vulnerable, they get taken advantage of. The ACLU did this extensive research and report into the treatment of unaccompanied minors that were detained in the United States. And they found numerous cases of neglect, denial of medical treatment. If you're an undocumented worker in the United States, of course, there are cases where you'll be underpaid and you will be abused and you can't do anything about it. There is no legal recourse, because if you go to the authorities, you could face deportation. And so let's talk about that part of it as well, because these oftentimes are the most vulnerable people in society who did escape their countries because of violence or terrible economic situations.
So good news, bad news at the end here. Sheriff's office says that they're going to give the mother a type of protected status during the criminal investigation that would prevent her from being deported. That's the good news. The bad news is they didn't say what happens after the investigation.
Right.
And so that's another reason, especially in the Trump era, where immigrants that are undocumented are really afraid to come forward and talk to the authorities, especially in non-sanctuary cities, because they know that they could be turned in right away. So it doesn't matter if you're right or you're wrong in a lot of cases. Now here in this case, the local authorities are doing the best they can. And they're doing the right thing in protecting the family and protecting the girl, so great credit to them. But I literally don't know what's going to happen when the investigation is over, because this is what ICE does. ICE goes around and goes, okay, that's a public person we know is undocumented. I don't give a damn what happened to them. They're a target.
Yeah.
So I'm I'm afraid of what's already happened, and I'm afraid of what's going to happen.
All right, let's move on to other news. Donald Trump is capitalizing on the immigration issue in Germany, and he is apparently spreading some lies about the crime rate attributed to immigrants in the country. Now, in a recent tweet, he wrote the following: "The people of Germany are turning against their leadership as migration is rocking the already tenuous Berlin coalition. Crime in Germany is way up. Big mistake made all over Europe in allowing millions of people in who have so strongly and violently changed their culture." Now, if you look at the numbers, the actual data pertaining to crime in Germany, you'll notice that crime's actually at record lows. Official figures from last month show that the national crime rate fell 5% since last year in Germany, dropping to the lowest level since 1992. So also, the number of crimes committed by non-German individuals, these are the immigrants, fell 23%. Now, there was a slight increase in a specific type of criminal activity in Germany. 2.5% increase in anti-Semitic attacks, with 94% of them committed by far-right German nationals. In fact, 62% of, that's a different statistic. So yeah, most of the crime that's being committed right now, or the uptick in crime, is specifically related to far-right German nationals in the country.
But, okay, yeah. Okay, two things here. One is, when I saw the crime was down 5%, I said, well, look, to be fair, Merkel allowed over a million immigrants in 2015. So maybe there was a big spike up then, and then a little bit of a come down from that. No, crime's the lowest it's been since 1992. That's a long, long time. So what is this, as usual? A blatant, complete lie, not attached to even a nugget of truth. Where did Donald Trump get it from, by the way? As usual, it appears that Fox News did a segment on it with another right-wing pundit who was talking about, oh my God, Germany, they're in big trouble, their culture. So I'll get to that in a second, what that code word's for, although anyone can realize what it is. And the crime is up, and the people of Germany are so mad at Merkel, etc. And so Trump sees that, and he's like, okay, that's it, perfect. And so now let's get to the second part, the racism, the clear, obvious racism. So Trump talking about how the culture of the immigrants has violently changed the culture of Germany. Well, where are the immigrants coming from? Africa and the Middle East, right? So now it's not true. So if it's not true, then why are you saying it? Because in his mind, the German culture is a good culture. Because, by the way, the Germans would never be violent. Okay, let that sink in. Look, Germany right now is largely left-wing, very left-wing compared to us here in the United States. Wonderful, God bless, I got nothing wrong with it. But the idea that Germans could not possibly be violent or have a bad culture, I don't have to explain why that's preposterous. But the real problem is the brown people coming into Germany and ruining their culture, right?
Again,
with no facts whatsoever to back it up, other than your racism about their culture, which is actually a code word, obviously, for race and ethnicity. By the way, when Brian Kilmeade was talking about it on Fox News, the one that got Trump all worked up, he specifically said 1 million refugees coming in from the Middle East and Africa and Asia. And he talked about how the good people of Bavaria were standing up against it. Bavaria is actually a part of Germany, not all of Germany. But Bavaria sounds very, white. Like, oh, Bavaria versus Africa and the Middle East, right?
Yep. Well, look, this type of messaging unfortunately works. And you start to feel so hopeless while, talking about the facts. Because for a huge portion of the population, facts don't matter. What matters more is emotion and fear. And so even though we gave you the statistics, even though we showed you that crime caused by immigrants is actually at an all-time low, it dropped by 23%, The majority of Germans do not want more immigration. They do not want it. 62% of Germans want to turn away asylum seekers at the border. Now look, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're all like those on the Trump camp. It could just be that Merkel did actually accept a lot of refugees. And so maybe the people of Germany feel like, okay, we're at capacity, we've taken in a lot of immigrants. But I do know that some portion of those people have bought into the fear mongering that you hear from, you know, the far right, including people like Trump.
The other thing is, look, people are reluctant to accept change. So when all of a sudden your country changes a little bit and its complexion changes a little bit, then maybe you get thrown off by it. You're a little scared by it. It takes you a little while to adjust. But you're not scared by the actual crime because it's down, not up. You're not scared of anything that's actually happening. It's like every once in a while in America, they'll pass laws against Sharia law in places like Oklahoma, as if there are any Muslims in Oklahoma, let alone the Muslims are going to take over Oklahoma and institute Muslim Sharia law, right? So are the Africans, the Middle East, and people from the Middle East that came to Germany taking over Germany in any substantial way? No, but when they come in, there is a little bit of a shock. Hey, Germany looks a little different. So look, I'm trying to cut the people as much of a break as possible because I get that change can seem scary or unsettling. Mm-hmm. But the guys who use it for propaganda and stoke the demagoguery are the ones that I think are the real problems and issues here. And in the case of Trump, who by the way talks about his genes endlessly. I have really good genes. I have good genes, right? Some people have good genes and others don't, okay? I'm like a smart person. And
if that's what good genes look like, I want really bad genes.
I hear you on that, sister. But his view of the world is based on genetics. It's based on race. He's proven it over and over again in his how he's treated Latinos, Muslims, and blacks in this country. And now he's putting that on Germany as well and making up facts to go along with it.
Yeah. By the way, Interior Minister Horst Seehofer is known as this anti-immigrant politician in Germany. And even he admitted that crime is at historic lows in Germany. It's kind of incredible. So
yeah. Facts are stubborn things.
They really are. All right. We got to take another break, but when we come back, unfortunately, we have to talk about Roger Stone. But you don't want to miss this story because it's unbelievable.
It's a hilarious lie.
Yeah.
Can we eat in here?
Once again, it's me, here at the Streamies. You people have thought that I was here to interview people. Instead, I was here to take it over for myself, my own agenda.
Congratulations on your award. Quick question, who's keeping it?
Well, we have a collective safe deposit box in Peoria, Illinois that we will be putting it in.
You have to plan ahead.
She's gonna lay like this. You could hang your tank tops on it, and then I could put my coat on it.
Maybe a towel.
I can hold your award. I'd be happy to do it. Okay, good. I'll just hold this real quick. Can you just get this for my mom? She has no idea the difference. This year also has been a pretty big year for you politically. You have sat down with, do you want to just name, Hillary Clinton?
Yes, our next president. Hashtag I'm with her.
Oh!
I'm just going to put that out there.
I mean, I already knew that, but I feel like it's powerful now. You just said it, you know?
I mean, come on. I'm actually going to Florida next week and knocking on doors and try to get all my fans. Make sure the millennials, you go out and you vote. It's very important.
What's next?
Just world domination.
Yes.
And stuff.
More matching tattoos with gray.
Yes, exactly.
But honestly, what's next is whatever I can do to be a positive light in this world is what I'm going to do. Did you ever think when you started making YouTube videos that you'd be holding an award?
Yes.
You did?
Yeah. An Oscar.
You're the first. Okay. Oh, right. Okay. You're the first person that said other people, they're like,
People always ask me that. Did you think you were going to have 10 million subscribers? Did you think you were going to be in a movie and all this stuff? And I say, yes, you have to believe in yourself ignorantly almost or arrogantly almost to the point where you have to believe in yourself when no one else does. So obviously I believed in myself.
Once again. I am here, backstage. Thus far, no one has suspected that it's not really Grace as an imposter. Good.
So congratulations on winning Show of the Year. Did you expect this?
I was hoping. I was thinking they were going to be top three. I thought Good Mythical Morning might take it because they're a great show. They have a great audience. But I'm glad they didn't. Is that okay thing to say?
I'm glad they lost.
I mean, I'm glad I won. Mm-hmm. But also that they lost because that's the only way that I would have won.
Yeah, I've watched your videos since I was like a kid. I don't know if I was a kid, but for a while.
Yeah, dinosaur on YouTube now.
No, I didn't. I wasn't going to say that. And you're not. Okay. But hey, you've been doing good content for that long. That's
I'll
what's awesome.
It. And also, if I'm a dinosaur, what's jank?
Whoever eats the most in 1 minute wins the title of best pie eater. On your marks. Get set. Go.
My name is Cassandra Hanks. I've been with TYT for 3 years. I am a video editor and a photographer. I edit The Main Show, Pop Trigger, sometimes Think Tank, and my favorite show, Murder with Friends.
Oh yeah, that's right, she said Murder with Friends!
Being their main photographer, I get to photograph and sometimes meet some of the celebrities that come through. Susan Sarandon was amazing because she brought her dog Penny. Meeting people like Joss Whedon and Quentin Tarantino as being some of the reasons why I got into filmmaking and photography was like a dream come true.
Young Turks, Cenk and Anna with you guys. In order to talk to us during the show, you could use YouTube Super Chat or you could use Twitter. And on Twitter, you just put in hashtag TYT Live and then those tweets come to us. Danger Carlos Danger did that and he writes in, this makes me sick. I have no faith that Trump administration won't deport them before the trial anyway, referring to the case in Texas. We all know how much Trump bends over backwards for sexual predators. Given that he is one. I added that last part. Kara Curley says, we've all seen Don Jr. and Eric. Proof Trump doesn't have good genes.
That's a good point.
Yeah. He's obsessed with genetics, and he's talked about his German past before, too. Like, he thinks, I mean, don't say, hey, I have great genes because I'm German. How do you not know that's not a thing to say, right? And then now he's talking about how the people from Africa and the Middle East are ruining the good German culture.
I can't deal with it anymore. Like, when is it going to end? I feel like he's been president for 3 decades. It's been the longest year and a half, 2 years, whatever.
Of all of our lives.
It's just every day it's like, oh, I didn't think it could get worse, but it can. That's amazing. Okay.
Right, and we move on.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, speaking of which, brings us to the next story.
Yes. The Washington Post has reported some pretty crazy news about Roger Stone and how he had just forgotten about the fact that during Trump's campaign for president, he had met with a Russian who had some dirt, or at least claimed to have some dirt, on Hillary Clinton and offered to sell it to him for millions of dollars. How could he possibly forget? I don't know. Now let's get to the details of the story. Apparently Roger Stone and Michael Caputo say they forgot to tell investigators about their contact with a Russian national who goes by the name Henry Greenberg, even though they say Greenberg offered to sell incriminating information to the Trump campaign for $2 million. Now, my favorite part of this whole story isn't just the fact that Roger Stone is pretending like he forgot this. It's what he had told this Russian national. Because remember, he wanted Trump to pay $2 million for this incriminating information, and Roger Stone told him, you don't understand Donald Trump. He doesn't pay for anything.
That's awesome. You're right, Anna. I love that part too. What he could have added is, you don't understand. He doesn't actually have any money. Okay, yeah. We've been lying about it from day one. Billionaire. That's hilarious.
It's too funny.
Yeah. So, but the initial lie and the way that it was uncovered is great. So let's just get this right. Roger Stone doesn't remember having a meeting during the campaign with someone who asked for $2 million in order to give dirt on Hillary Clinton, whether they were Russian or not. Like, that just slipped his mind. Yes. And when asked about it, he's like, did I meet with any Russians? And by the way, the guy in this story, he calls himself Henry Greenberg. He has an enormous Russian accent. Okay, that's okay. God bless, right? It's okay unless you're offering $2 million from Russia or to get money from the Trump Organization in exchange for information that might have come from Russia. Mm-hmm. So, look, he didn't do the deal. So, he's a slippery character. God knows if they'll get him on the lying, let alone the actual deal itself. So the deal itself, they probably won't get him on. So he didn't have to. But like Trump, it's in his nature. It's his MO to lie. That's what he does regularly. So he could have just come out and said, look, we didn't take the offer.
Right.
So end of question, right? But he couldn't help himself. No, I don't remember it. And so how did they come to, well, go ahead.
Okay, yeah, I'm just dying to jump in. You're right, Cenk, because based on what we know so far, based on this investigation, it appears that Roger Stone did the right thing. Did not take this deal, did not pay the $2 million. There's no evidence indicating that Trump even knew about it. So why not just be forthcoming? Don't tell me that you forgot about it. You did not forget. You know that there's this giant investigation happening right now. And so why not come forward and be like, yo, this interaction occurred, but I was not interested and I walked away from it. Again, he said, I flatly rejected his proposal in what was a 20-minute meeting and never mentioned it to Trump or the Trump campaign because the idea was so ludicrous. Now, how did he get caught? Well, special counsel Robert Mueller is, of course, doing this investigation. And through his investigation, he came across Michael Caputo's emails and text messages. And he came across a text message interaction between Caputo and Roger Stone. And so the terms of that meeting were clear in that text message exchange. So that's how Stone got caught lying, essentially. Apparently, he said that Caputo brought it to my attention, it having arisen in his interview with Mueller's team. Okay.
So that's basically an admission. I wasn't going to tell you until I found out that my co-conspirator had been asked about it by Mueller, and Mueller had the text. That's when I remembered that I had met with the guy and he asked for $2 million. Well, that's pretty convenient, I suppose, isn't it? So if you don't know Roger Stone, there's a documentary about him. I partly don't want to give the guy any oxygen. On the other hand, this snake has been released into the world by Donald Trump, and whether we like it or not.
He's commonly referred to as a dirty trickster.
Yes.
Right, which I don't think is harsh enough.
Yeah, he has a tattoo of Richard Nixon on the small of his back. I don't know who he wants to see that tattoo and under what context, but it's there. So to him, lying under oath, it's Tuesday.
Yeah.
Right? He's like, why would I tell you the truth? What am I, a sucker? So I think that probably, my guess is, by his gut instinct was, no, I didn't meet with any Russians. Nope, never. And one of the reasons he wouldn't want you to know, other than the fact that, hey, it begins a series of questions that he doesn't want to answer, is that he did have the meeting. He knew that the meeting, Caputo told him the meeting was, they're going to try to give you dirt on Hillary Clinton. He's like, well, that sounds like a good idea. The reason he didn't do the deal, which we're ironically giving him credit for here, is because Trump doesn't have any money. Mm-hmm. So he's like, me, Trump give you $2 million. He didn't give anybody anything, right? So that's not going to happen. And by the way, the other reason they didn't do the deal is because the information was non-specific. So, and again, to be fair to Stone, and I can't believe I'm saying that, in the text, he told Caputo after the meeting, no, there was nothing interesting that came out of that meeting.
Yeah.
So they did not do the deal.
Also, if I remember the reporting correctly, and correct me if I'm wrong, Roger Stone met with him, this Russian national, in 2016. And based on the reports that I read, he had left or stopped working for the Trump campaign in 2015.
That's right, but that's all official versus unofficial.
No, but that's relevant because, if this is an investigation into, Russian involvement in the elections, well, then if it's not part of Trump's campaign, does it matter if someone who's just supportive of Trump but not part of his campaign met with this Russian national?
Well, the person who's more relevant than Roger Stone here is Caputo because he is Trump campaign communication official. So he is definitely part of the campaign. He's the one who set up the meeting in the first place.
You're right.
Caputo also has partners linked to Russia. Mm-hmm. Yet another official that has connections to Russia that just wound up on Trump's campaign.
Yeah, and let me give you a broader view of the number of people who were in communication with Russians during the campaign. The new disclosure brings the total of Trump associates who had contacts with Russians during the 2016 campaign to at least 12. A dozen, at least a dozen people related to Trump's campaign had some communication with Russians. And that is unheard of in campaigns. This is not, like, friend, look, this has never really come up before. This is so unprecedented. So for those who might think, oh, yeah, this is the kind of stuff that happens all the time, right? No, it doesn't. This does not occur in campaigns.
Yes. So we'll see if they bust him for the preposterous lie of I forgot. And it'll be one of the many things that they investigate about Roger Stone. So Caputo is connected to the Trump campaign even at the time. I actually don't care that much about the other story that everybody makes a big deal out of Roger Stone communicating with WikiLeaks. I view WikiLeaks as an organization that largely does journalism, so people can communicate with them. And if you think, hey, they're being one-sided, okay, I hear you on that. And I'll let the investigators sort out whether there was anything wrong there or not. I care more about if there were stolen emails and Roger Stone somehow had connection to or had access to those emails before they became public. Somebody prints the emails publicly, whether it's the New York Times or WikiLeaks, that's a totally different story. If Stone had access to them before, and it appears, whether it's official or not, that he's going around trying to find dirt on Hillary Clinton for the Trump team throughout 2015 and 2016, well, that might be a different story. We'll let the investigators sort that out. But the one thing we know for sure is he didn't forget. That's ridiculous.
All right, one more break. When we come back, we will discuss who Republicans favor more, Kim Jong-un or Nancy Pelosi. And then gerrymandering, what's going on with that?
All right, back on TYT, Cenk and Anna with you guys. Fun post game for you guys today. Anna apparently has a new hobby. I don't know what it is. I'm very curious.
You're going to make fun of me a lot.
There's no way that I'm not. That's a guarantee that I will make fun of you. I just am dying to find out how I'm going to make fun of you.
Okay.
There's no way you're going to have a new hobby, and I'm going to be like, well, Anna, that's a really good idea. I really support that. In order to hear that, tyt.com/join to become a member. By the way, get our app. You'll love it. TYT.com/app. Or just go to the App Store, type in TYT, TYT Plus. Anna has the app.
Yes, she, awesome, actually.
Yeah, listens to Old School on it. How many episodes have you listened to now?
I've gone pretty far back. I'm not going to lie. I first went and made sure to listen to every single episode with you and Ben. But I love all of them. But there's something about you and Ben together that just makes it funnier because you guys are actually pretty different personality-wise.
You think so? I actually think we're very similar. That's interesting that you think
no,
that.
No, you guys disagree a lot. And it's funny because you're like the more bombastic one, and I feel like Ben spends a lot of time trying to like calm you down and make you think about things from a more reasonable perspective. But it's funny because I feel like I relate more to you in those arguments. So I'll find myself going like, "Yeah, Cenk, you tell him." And then when he calms you down, I'll be like, "Oh, he's kind of right. Okay, fine."
You just described like the first 8 years of Young Turks history, and that's why the show is called Old School. That's also for members. TYT.com/join. The app's a great, easy way to listen to it, whether you're a member or not. All right, Zoe writes in, wouldn't Stone, as a citizen who's familiar with the political world, be someone who might want to alert the FBI about foreign interference in an election? That's funny, Zoe. I like that. Okay. AA Lipschitz says, Trump and the Republicans are giving Republican voters a tyrannical government to fight against. The Republican voters just need to wake up. Right? This is exactly the kind of government that you have your Second Amendment rights for, right?
Yeah.
Now, don't get me wrong. I don't want you using anything related to the Second Amendment, okay? That's the propaganda that the GOP puts out there.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Anna, what's next?
All right. The Daily Beast teamed up with Ipsos to do an unconventional poll. Now, the topic is unconventional. I don't know where it came from, but we're having fun. The question was, who do you have a more favorable view of, Kim Jong-un or Nancy Pelosi? And I was actually shocked by the results, to be honest with you. 19% of GOP voters had a favorable view of the DPRK leader. Well, 17% of the same group saw Pelosi favorably. So more Republicans have a favorable view of an authoritarian dictator than Nancy Pelosi, who's just a weak Democrat, establishment Democrat in Congress.
The thing I'm shocked by is the fact that you're shocked.
No, I know. I guess I shouldn't be. I get that you hate her, right? But she's not sending people to concentration camps.
Yeah, but you didn't get brainwashed by the dear leader. So, look, I don't have much love for Nancy Pelosi, and I put her at about a million or a billion times better than Kim Jong-un. It's not a conversation we should be having, right? She is a political leader that I have some issues with. The other guy kills people, and a lot of them, and destroys this country and is a dictator. And now if you're a Republican, tyrannical government, big government, dictators.
Yeah.
These are the things that you, and he's a communist. If you think Nancy Pelosi is too liberal, he's a communist leader, right?
Yeah. I think a lot of people don't know that North Korea is a communist country.
I don't think they know it. Look, you can argue, and the left will argue, that none of these countries are actually communist. They never actually practiced communism as it was in theory. Part of the problem with communism is that dictators happen to gain control immediately. But certainly, on paper, they're a communist country, no question about it. In fact, I know the Republicans know about countries that are communist on paper and care a lot about it, because they care about it when it's Cuba.
Yep.
Communists, I can't believe Obama opened up relationships with communist Cuba. It's such a great idea for Donald Trump to open up relationships with communist North Korea.
Yeah.
Okay, like, so how did this, so zombies and their reaction to Kim Jong-un. So you want to hate Nancy Pelosi, I get it. But why would anyone have a favorable view of Kim Jong-un? Well, Donald Trump has called him a very talented man. He says he loves his country very much. Well, if he does, he's got a funny way of showing it. He said he's the strong head of his country, and he's a tough guy, and he said he's a very smart guy. These are all direct quotes of Trump praising Kim Jong-un over and over again. He's a very smart guy, and he said we understand each other. Well, that part is true. And so after hearing their dear leader in the red hat praise Kim Jong-un over and over again, 19% of Republicans were like, well, that guy sounds great. Yeah. Okay, I'm with the guy who does the massacres and the concentration camps.
Nancy Pelosi isn't even like an inconvenience for you guys. Like Nancy Pelosi, it's almost as if she's not even there, right? Mm-hmm. Like she doesn't do anything.
I know,
like,
except for his
money. That's part of the problem we have with Nancy Pelosi. Like the fact that you have a more favorable view of Kim Jong-un versus Nancy Pelosi is amazing. All right.
We're going to do a poll on it, by the way. And it'll likely get hijacked by the right wing, so it'll be hilarious. Because that happens to our polls from now, time to time. TYTnetwork.com/favorite. Who do you have a more favorable approval of, Kim Jong-un or Nancy Pelosi? For God's sake, vote Nancy Pelosi. This is the only time I'm going to ask you to vote for Nancy Pelosi, okay? And this will be on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube, and you can click on the video on some of those platforms, or you can just go to tytnetwork.com/favorite and vote. I guarantee you the right wing takes one of these polls and runs with it. And they're like, what do you mean? She's actually worse. You don't know the damage she's done. Watch, you'll see.
Okay. All right, let's move on to final story of the day. The Supreme Court has decided to not crack down on partisan gerrymandering in the state of Wisconsin. Now, they are offering an opportunity for the plaintiffs in this case to come back to them with something known as standing, which Cenk will get to in just a second. But first, let me give you more context. The justices unanimously agreed that the plaintiffs in Gill v. Whitford, 12 Wisconsin Democratic voters who sued to strike down the state legislature map, arguing it was gerrymandered against against the party, failed to establish standing to bring their lawsuit. So the justices concluded that plaintiffs focused on proving the entire state map was gerrymandered against Democrats. Instead, they should have focused on proving whether their particular districts were gerrymandered.
Okay, so let me give you context here that's really important. First of all, if you don't know about gerrymandering, that's where politicians pick their voters instead of the voters picking their politicians. They just draw ridiculous maps and they're like, this will be my district because that district favors me. And so a lot of people are suing over that. It's going all the way up to the Supreme Court. There's a reason why the Supreme Court doesn't want to make that decision today. I'll explain that in a second. So they use this excuse called standing. Now, standing is a real legal concept, and it makes sense. If you and I are in a dispute and Bob comes in and wants to sue one of us, the court goes, Bob, what do you have anything to do with it? Get out of here. Yeet, right? So in this case, do they have standing to sue on behalf of all the voters of Wisconsin? The court says no, you have to actually just worry about your own district because that's the district you live in. I actually think that makes no sense even though it was a unanimous decision, and I'll tell you why I think it was unanimous also in a second. Why does it make no sense? Well, if you're a Democrat in a district that's got 80% Democrats, the court's going to say to you, okay, you could only talk about your own district. Your district's overwhelmingly Democrat. What are you complaining about? Well, you have to know the context. The context is because this district is 80% Democrat, three districts around it are 55% Republican, and that's how they manipulate the state by drawing the map in a way that you're going to get one guaranteed Democratic seats and three likely Republican seats, to use an example, right? So that's why saying you don't have standing to talk about the whole state makes no sense, in my opinion, in this context. So why did all the justices agree to it? Well, the Republicans have their plan, which is, I want to wait till after the 2018 elections. Now, some will say, hey, Cenk, this is too conspiratorial. The Supreme Court justices are not partisan. They're just calling balls and strikes, as John Roberts said. They're just neutral umpires. Have you seen any of their decisions? No, the Republicans want to wait. And if the Democrats win over the House and have a landslide election in 2018, then in 2019, they'll come back and go, yeah, gerrymandering, it's a bad idea. You know what? Politicians picking their own voters. That's crazy talk. Why? Because they do the redistricting every 10 years after the census, which then becomes our sentence. Anyway, if the Democrats win big in 2018, they might win huge in 2020, and then they would get to draw the maps. So the Republicans on the court will go, gerrymandering, it's a bad idea. I don't know why anybody thought it was a good idea, right? If the Republicans win in 2018, then they get to do a do-over and go, yeah, you know what? Your district's fine. You got nothing to complain about in your district. Gerrymandering's fine. We're going forward.
Yeah.
Now, so why did the Democrats go along with it? Because at least this conservative Supreme Court, again, this is my speculation, okay? This conservative Supreme Court doesn't say that gerrymandering's okay. So the Democrats go, okay, fine, let's punt. And then four of them, the liberal justices, write an opinion saying, well, when they do come back, we should be able to look at the whole state and make that decision that way. And the question is, will they get any of the Republicans to agree with them? And that depends on the outcome of the elections.
So I do also want to mention the actions taken by Clarence Thomas and Neil Gorsuch. They dissented from this part of the ruling because they just want to throw this out completely. Like they're like, oh, partisan gerrymandering that favors Republicans. Awesome. So yeah, they don't even want this case to come back, even with standing. They just want to throw it out.
So Clarence Thomas has always been this way. He almost never asks a question. Is barely awake during the proceedings. He just at the end he's like, okay, what do Republicans want? Right now we're winning gerrymandering. Yeah, gerrymandering is awesome, totally constitutional. Okay, now Neil Gorsuch is so conservative, he's gone to the right of Samuel Alito, who used to be the other massive right winger. And Gorsuch is like, hold my beer. Okay. By the way, Clarence Thomas is like, be glad to. So now those two are like the uber right wing. They're like politicians being corrupt and drawing districts in a way that they can't possibly lose. And on behalf of Republicans, they're like, I jump in it. I love it. What's our point in being on this court? It's to make rulings like this. You know, you could argue that John Roberts and Alito are more savvy. in waiting to see what happens after the 2018 election. Mm-hmm. So damned if you do, damned if you don't. But at the end of the day, gerrymandering is wrong, even if it is to the advantage of Democrats. They're wrong when they do it in Maryland. They're wrong when they try it in Colorado. Now, Republicans do it far more often. We're not doing false equivalency here. But whether it's the Republican Party or the Democratic Party, no matter who wins in 2018, they should not be allowed to gerrymander these districts. We should actually have a democracy. Okay, believe it or not, we have finished all our stories on the show, which almost never happens. Okay, hold on.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing.
All right, so I got Rebel Headquarters coming up next. If you're watching on tyt.com/live, there's a fascinating story about working class Americans. And then we've got the post game for everybody. tyt.com/join to hear me make fun of Anna's new hobby. Sight unseen, I don't even know
what
it is.
You guys are gonna love it, and you're gonna be happy and proud for me.
Doubt it.
Bye-bye.